Hello, welcome to the Golden Generation, another daily episode. I'm Harper Pestling. We've got lots to review and, of course, the Socceroos to preview tonight. Lucas Ronaldo is here to do that with me. Lucas, how you going?
Very well, mate. Obviously a bit nervous this morning. I've got a bit of a different setting today. I've stolen someone's office at work. But, yeah, very nervous before tonight's game, but yeah, all good.
Oh, I'm looking forward to getting into the nitty gritty of that after we review tonight's or last night's action. But Lucas, we've had a guest who's come through, and it is an awesome guest. You've sorted it out for us. Do you want to tell us who it is?
Yes, it's great to welcome on. Well, Argentina played tonight. Obviously, they had a pretty devastating result first up against Saudi Arabia. So we thought it was only fitting to get on the best ever Argentinian to play in the A-League. Marcos Flores, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks very much for coming on, mate. And maybe we'll start with you, and we'll start with Wales 2. Sorry, not Wales 2. Iran 2, Wales 0. What an incredible, incredible game this was. For a while, it looked, well, for most of the game, it looked like it was going to be another nil-all draw. But then Wayne Hennessy... just don't know what went into his head, but he came out of his box, he got sent off, and then all the action kicked off. I think first goal's in the 98th minute, and then Iran added another one, Marcos.
Unbelievable. Well, it's been a funny start of the World Cup. I mean, it's been really giving huge surprises all around the tournament. It happened with us, Argentina, with Saudi Arabia. It happens with Germany, with Japan. So it's interesting. It's interesting what is happening. But you know what? It gives me that nervousness that nothing is safe anymore. Nothing is sure. And that's the good thing about soccer, mate. Now everyone switch on the TV and is thinking what is going to happen, and that is the best part of the game that I loved.
And I don't know, I'm loving the correct amount of injury time being added on as well, because it's an awesome thing when you get to play.
This would have been nil all.
Yeah, it would have been nil all, and a 98th minute winner, and then the sealer added in the 101st minute. How often do you see that? Look, it's not very often, is it?
No, not at all. It was a great game as well, even if it had have ended nil. It was very, very end-to-end. Wales, I think, the fact it's their first tournament in so long, they've brought along a lot of fans and a lot of atmosphere. But, yeah, Iran looked good. And now we spoke about it yesterday. This group set up very, very nicely going to last game with England's result as well. I think it's 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. So everyone's still got something to play for. Iran's goal difference working against them. But yeah, this group is set up very nicely, and we're now seeing the groups take shape once you play two games. So I think Iran, everyone had sort of already written them off after the first game, but they looked very good, and they got Azmoun back, who is a Harry Maguire dead ringer. But great for them, and completely changed the way they attacked as well.
Yeah, well, you said the group set up really nicely. But Wales, that second goal that got added on in the 101st minute, it's really not done a whole lot of good for their hopes, because goal difference is going to play a massive part in this group, I would have thought. Now, if Iran don't lose to the US and Wales don't beat England, Iran's through, which we wouldn't have been predicting just 24 hours ago, I don't think. But Marcos, I'll ask this to you. What changed for Iran? Why were they so good in this game compared to that 6-2 loss against England? Was it just the pressure of a do-or-die match?
Well, it is. I never played a World Cup, so to actually tell you what it feels, a player that is actually in that tournament. Only I've been in 2018, closer to that atmosphere from outside. But just trying to guess what these people might be thinking, it's like everything in life, man. When you go for something that you wait for so long, and you build this tension that you wanted to perform, that you play for your country, and blah, 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 blah. It's normal to actually have that risk of pressure of overloading emotions that, you know, can shock you when things going on. And I think that obviously is two factors. That is emotionally is one, but then football wise, I mean, if you play against a nation that it can dominate you, it will. And if you get nervous, it's gonna be ugly. So these two, you can actually, you know, get a little bit. An example: Brazil, Argentina, or Brazil, Italy. Yeah, it's two big teams, but it gets it into the little bit uneven scenarios, and the underdog get a little bit nervous, and if the things don't go well. Well, it can give you this type of scores.
We'll get on to England versus the US and nil all draw in just a sec. But, Lucas, I'm interested to know.
I don't think there's too much to say about that one.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. So that's why I'm asking now. Who have you got going through this group? We've got one game left for each team, two massive games in terms of rivalries as well as the consequences. Iran versus the US and England versus Wales. So who have you got coming out in the top two in the group, Lucas?
I think England will top the group. I think they will beat Iran, and then that's pretty much a straight shootout between USA between USA and Iran. I think Iran will go through. I think they've just got everything going back home. We saw once again during the national anthems last night, the people in the crowd crying. Obviously, there's a lot of political issues going on in Iran. I think it's just galvanizing them, and I think they've become a lot of people's sort of second favorite team in this tournament, because it shows the power of football when you see what it means to them and how much it's affecting people back home. So I think Iran, and especially against USA, obviously that's sort of another political bit of rivalry there. So I think I will go Iran to finish second in that group. But Wales won't be easy for England.
And just quickly on Iran, scored four goals at this World Cup, two in each game. Obviously very different outcomes for the games for them. But that's twice as many goals as they've ever scored in the World Cup, which I find pretty incredible. Only two games in as well. And that Iran versus USA game and Wales versus England happened at the same time, of course. Melbourne, Sydney time, Eastern Daylight Time in Australia. Wednesday next week at 6 a.m. But Marcus, to you now. Who have you got going through Group B?
I think England will dominate this, and then I like the beautiful stories, man. I like these things that Maradona make us feel. So I wish the Iranians the same feeling, man, because it's something that you stay in history. So I hope that thing happened, but. This is football. This is football, and anything can happen, to be honest. But I will go for. I wished that Iran goes through.
Well, just a personal thing that I know about Iran. A friend of mine who's the biggest Iran national team fan you could ever meet. He can't support Iran, just like morally and ethically in his mind, he can't do it. Right. So he finds it hard to support anyone, but he's supporting England in this tournament because he has a connection to their players because of the Premier League. But that's what the political situation in Iran's done to him. It's absolutely incredible, but it would be just the most amazing story if Iran got through, especially after what happened to them in their first game. But Lucas, we were saying that there's not a whole lot to talk about. England 0, USA 0. Do you want to talk about that small amount that you promised us?
Yeah, it was shocking. I got up for the second half of this one, and it was an absolute snooze fest. I think I saw the XG of both teams was below a goal.
I think
at one stage, England had only had one shot on target in about the 85th minute. Um, And some of their – they're just playing way too – well, in this game, obviously, Iran, they swept the floor. But this looked more like the England we've seen under Gareth Southgate. And then to not bring on Phil Foden – I don't understand the dislike of Phil Foden. To me, he's their best player. And Jack Grealish, when he came on, looked dangerous. There seems to be some sort of disdain for players that play with any sort of, like, imagination and have the ability to beat a man. Then they're nil all when they bring on Jordan Henderson in midfield. It's a bit strange, to me. And I think with how harsh the English public and press are, this might have woken a few people up that were disappointed not to have anything to complain about after the after the first game. So definitely the worst game I've seen at this tournament. At the end of the day, England are probably going to go through top of this group. They did enough against Iran, and now they're not through yet. But as long as they do something against Wales, which will be tricky, they should be fine. So I don't think it's panic stations or anything just yet.
Just Marcos, moving out from this game specifically, how do you see England, and how far do you see them progressing? Obviously, you've got them going through the group.
I just watch some patches of that game that England played, the first one. I was impressed, mate. I was impressed about the technical aspect of the game, the way that the English players switch the ball and control the ball. It was amazing, and maybe because I retired so long ago, I'm fading. Every single touch that I ever tried to get is gone. I was like, wow, look at these players, how they switch the ball 70 yards and controlling and moving. I loved it, that aspect of the technical part of the game that England has and show us and provide to the spectators. I liked it. Maybe, you know, it's not my cup of tea how they cry things and how they actually, you know, perform in the last 30 yards. You know, it's not, they don't have a Neymar that I like. They don't have, like Lucas said, you know, they go forward and that they can do something, but it's not that type that I like to see. You know? And it's not that I don't like Foden, but it's, but the way that they possess the ball and they pass is just super elegant. It's super elegant. I like that.
I'm interested to know, Marcos, obviously you haven't lived in Argentina for a long time, but people in Australia, as everyone would know, tend to have an obsession with the Premier League because they're kind of viewed as the big brother, England, and obviously speak the same language, share so much of the same culture. Are people in Argentina that into the Premier League, or is it La Liga, or is it purely the Argentinian league?
Well, we follow our best players around the world, so I'm more than likely it's been in, from 2000s to 2010, I think it was a lot of the superstars of Argentina and Italy. So we were following the culture. And then it was Juan Sebastian Verón in Manchester or Chelsea. And then was Kun Agüero in Manchester City. And then it was in Zabaleta in Manchester City. So many Argentinians coming into that Premier League situation, Premier League market. And it's a league that it's not as appealing to actually wake up in the morning and see the Premier League when there's so much vibes going on in the afternoon with huge games and the atmosphere in South America is quite in another level. People watch, you know, and follow and stay alert of what these Argentinians can do in England, you know. But no, it's really rare to find an Argentinian with a Manchester United hat thinking, oh, Manchester in the morning is not going to happen, mate.
Yeah, totally different culture, isn't it? But let's move on to the Group A action from overnight. And first one that I want to talk about, back to you, Lucas, is Qatar scoring their first World Cup goal, but it was enough for them. They lost 3-1 to Senegal.
Yeah, I think we touched on Iran maybe being everyone's second favourite team. I think Qatar are everyone's most hated team in general. So they're out. I'd thought that they might upset a few people and go through to the next round. The most surprising thing about this for me is that maybe they should add a penalty. It was very similar to the one where Ronaldo got brought down for Portugal the day before, which obviously ended up being a penalty, and this one wasn't given. But yeah, Qatar do get their goal at a World Cup, which is obviously the thing they're always going to remember this tournament for. But at the end of the day, they're just nowhere near as good as the teams they're playing against. Senegal, even without Mane, just have players at a much higher level. And this Qatar team, it's almost unbelievable to think that they won an Asian Cup competing against Japan and Korea and Saudi Arabia and Australia. Because this, when you look at them, they just don't look that like they have much of a plan. And obviously, at the end of the day, I don't think it's the way they're set up. I think they're just, their team's just not as good. But they do get their moment. Now I think the Netherlands game for them will be complete damage limitation.
Yeah, well, it would be fun if Qatar just absolutely threw all kind of nervousness and anxieties about copping lots of goals out the window, because obviously they've got nothing to play for other than pride now. So it'd be cool to see an entertaining game and not another nil all against the Netherlands. But that goal that they did score, I think it was in the 78th minute, gave them a glimmer of hope, put them 2-1 down. It was a very good header that would have got them all excited by Mohamed Muntari. And just on that penalty, I thought the Qatar attackers' intentions to get fouled, kind of sidestepping and flinging himself away from the ball almost and into the path of the defender, his intentions were much more overt and easy to see. I didn't think the Ronaldo one was a penalty either. But Marcos, did you see this one? Did you think it was a penalty?
Being frankly honest, I didn't see it. I didn't see the one that we're talking about.
That's all right.
I was actually trying to make my son sleep in some and the World Cup is sometimes played and I miss a few things but I didn't see that.
Shame that England USA game wasn't on. If you showed that to me, it would go straight.
But let's get on to the other game that happened in Group A overnight. This was Netherlands 1, Ecuador 1. Well, Marcos, both these teams had 2-0 wins in their first games and now couldn't find the breakthrough. Well, they 1-1. So, well, did you see this one? What did you make of it if you did see it?
Yeah, well, Ecuador has an Argentinian coach. Gustavo Alfaro, a really respectful, well-respected coach that was in Boca Juniors, was in big clubs in Argentina, has a big good reputation. And Ecuador is a national team that has definitely improved, definitely positioned into a really well-organized team, had to get through, is going to fight, and is going to put some intensity and strength into their attacks. More than likely, it's not going to do anything magical and any type of possession football, but they're quite strong and difficult to beat. And Gustavo Alfaro is a coach that is been already few years in Ecuador and is know what he's doing. So I really tried to follow what Ecuador does, because I learned a lot about coaching with Gustavo.
Did you expect Enner Valencia to have scored 3 goals after 2 games and be is it the leading goal scorer at this stage?
Well, I'm telling you, these first few days of a World Cup has shown me and taught me that I don't know nothing about the game. I don't know anything, mate, because you know, so many things that is happening that I was like, well, how, why, it was going on, and so I admit I don't know nothing.
But Lucas, you did predict Cody Gakpo to have a bit of a breakout tournament, and he has absolutely done so, almost more than done so far. Another goal in this game. Netherlands only shot on target, his goal, but took the lead with that one.
Yeah, I feel like I've made an accidental brilliant call, because I can't say that I watched too much of him before I made that call. But there was just something about him, and from videos I've seen and little bits of games that I've watched, that I thought this guy's going to break out. And it was an absolute cracker as well. Actually, I was going to say, with the Iran game, I think in that one, that was the first goal from outside the box in the entire tournament.
Outside the box.
Yeah. This one, I think, was just inside. But, one of the goals of the tournament so far. Netherlands are doing enough. Obviously, a point against Ecuador is more than enough, and especially with the way the group set up there, they'll be pretty confident that they're gonna smack Qatar up. But, I think they're a little smoky to go far. We mentioned before that they've got a pretty decent ride in terms of who they play once they get into sort of the knockout phases. So, I think even though they weren't fantastic this morning, that they're one of the teams that will go far. I think there was I wasn't able to catch this one live, but watching the highlights this morning, there was a great, Plata, I think his name is, for Ecuador, hitting the crossbar. Would have been one of the great World Cup moments, because the commentary on it was just elite, unfortunately rattled the crossbar. Ecuador continuing to surprise and are pretty well positioned to go through second in this group.
Well, the audio technicians in charge of that field in this World Cup are doing an awesome job, because whenever the ball hits the post or the crossbar, it just has a certain clank to it that is better than anything in the Premier League or the A-League. They're really stepping it up in this World Cup. But Marcus, I'm going to assume that you've got the Netherlands going through in top spot, and they're going to beat Qatar in that game coming up. But who have you got going through in second? Ecuador and Senegal play each other, so that'll be very interesting.
I will go for Ecuador.
Okay, Lucas, who are you going for?
Yeah, I agree. I think Ecuador are too good, and just on what Marcos was saying before about their coach, they're set up in a very non South American way. I think they play a bit more counter attacking and play very, very vertical, rather than so used to South American teams playing with that bit of flair. But they're very good at knowing their limitations, knowing where they're strong, and I think that's why you see a guy like Enner Valencia, who not many people would have thought about since the last World Cup, turn up and absolutely turn it on.
Yeah.
And Luca, one point of the reputation of that coach is to get results. It's not to play good football. And that is the reason why this coach has been in the business for 10, 15 years, whatever it is, but getting results, champion. And you give a good coach is that coach that you put, that you call him and said, look, you're going to be top 5, or you got this squad to be top 5. Yeah. And the guy goes and finish second or finish first. Yeah. That's a good coach. Hey, you are going to actually fight for no relegation, buddy. Come here. And the guy goes and finish mid top 5. That's the good coaches that improve. Well, that is the case of this Gustavo Alfaro. He has he has delivered a message to Ecuador that no, man, they need to work hard to beat us. If you think about Netherlands and Ecuador, you're talking about this thing 10 years ago, and you said, nah, Netherlands all the way. I'm going to bet my house, the mortgage. Yep. But nah, you're not going to do that now anymore. Once that you watch a little bit of soccer and you understand what's going on, that nations and some coaches are really stepping up some nations, you know?
Well, maybe Gustavo Alfaro is doing to Ecuador what Sam Allardyce would have done to England. no nonsense. But let's get on to, I should say that Ecuador, Senegal and Netherlands versus Qatar happening Melbourne, Sydney time again, Wednesday, 2 a.m., 1:30 for both of you guys in Adelaide. But the big one tonight at 9 p.m. Melbourne, Sydney time, Australia versus Tunisia. We've only played each other twice before, one win each. But Lucas, how are you feeling? Is that ledger going to remain square? Is it going to be a draw? Or are we going to get excited when we get up? Or is Tunisia just going to crush our hopes and dreams?
I'm choosing to stay positive, despite the nerves. I think everyone can relate to that. My head is saying one will draw. But that actually wouldn't be the worst result, because at least we'll still have a hope. I just don't, more than anything, more than anything, I just want us to go into the Denmark game with a chance. But, you know, my heart is saying that we're going to win 2-0. Riley McGree's going to score and A1 Mabil is going to come off the bench and score. And then, you know, South Australia is going to continue to march towards winning the World Cup for Australia, like West Ham did for England. Obviously Atkinson being out, he didn't have the best game against France. Outside of that, I think Krustic will probably start in place of McGree, and I expect most of the team to remain pretty similar. Maybe Kai Rolls didn't have his best game against France. I'm not sure if Arnie will drop him, but, it's the most nervous thing, but this is what the World Cup's all about. 8:30, well, our time, 9 o'clock in Melbourne and Sydney on a Saturday night. Fed Square will be absolutely popping off in Melbourne. I think there's got to be about 10,000 people there. I think I'm planning on going to the casino in Adelaide, which should have a really good atmosphere going on there. So, I'm excited, and hopefully we have something to celebrate at least, because that was a good thing about the France game. Even though we got smacked up, at least we had 20 minutes where we were on top of the world. So at least we have one point where we're going, we can do something.
How good those 19 minutes were. But Marcus, are you feeling nervous, excited? I know you're not from Australia originally, but there must be a bit of connection to the Socceroos, surely.
Yes. One month ago, I became an Australian resident, with my family. So Australia has been a place that I call home since I came here in 2010 to play for Adelaide United. But I play with under Graham Arnold. I know that person. I know how he guides his teams. I know his leadership. And I wish the very best. Obviously, I got a huge respect for a coach, because of his leadership, because he knows the limitations of his teams. Yeah, similar to Alfaro, that Gustavo Alfaro that we're talking. Graham Arnold is Graham Arnold has the ability to get to know his teams and his strength, the strength of the team. So I think this is different, though. This is national team. He can't work with the players as much details that he likes to implement. But he got all the ability to put a team together, to put players into the right mindset. Look, some players didn't have a great game against France, but I've got my huge respect for Atkins, and I say, yeah, you've been dealing with Nobu, with Craig Goodwin in the A-League, and then you go to Mbappé. Is huge. Is a huge step forward. No, seriously, I'm not.
Yeah,
it's like you marking some number 10s here, and you mark me at 37 years old, and then you go and you need to mark Ozil, you need to mark Juan Román Riquelme, Zinedine Zidane. So it's a huge difference. So when you go into the World Cup and things don't go, and you think, how can control this guy? This type of players, you don't control with one player. It's not just one in one. It's with the cover. It's with the entire team. That's how you control these big superstars. So I do believe that Australia will beat Tunisia. Oh. I will say that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and it's because emotionally, when I saw some player from Socceroos saying pressure is not a game, pressure is to be working from 6 a.m. to 2 o'clock to put food on the table. That is things I used to heard with Graham Anno, you know? That was things that in 2013 when I was playing for them in Central Coast Mariners, I used to hear all the time, you know. I used to hear the coach motivating the players, telling you, now you need to step up, big players step up in the big moments. This is one of the reasons why I think Cummins is in the squad. You know why? Not because he's quicker than others, not because he got the mindset. And Brian, I don't like mindsets. You know what I mean? That mindset that they don't feel pressure, that mindset that they will do something important if he needed. He used to have people like that, Brian, I know. He used to love them. And I think that he's the right person. And I know how much criticism he's getting from everywhere. I know that. But it's not an exception. That job has that. We did the same thing with Ange Postecoglou. People who is going to now hide the fact that when Ange Postecoglou was a coach, everyone was talking, oh, we should have different. So that is the job of Socceroos. Now, the job of a player is to step up now. And Tunisia is not the best team in the world. Yeah, has its strength. Yes. But it's possible, mate. It's possible. If you don't step up now with Tunisia, when you're going to step up? When you play the semi-final with Brazil? Now, Ethan. Now, no more. So I'm really excited to go to the Australian friends that invite me to get a Barbie. They come and say, Marcos, we're going to have a Barbie. Dude, I don't have a Socceroos top, but I'm going to try to put some yellow on top of some green, but I will go there.
you mentioned Milos Deganek's quotes about pressure there, and I just thought I should read them out specifically. So he said, you say must win game where you think it's pressure. That's not pressure. Pressure is me as an 18-month-old baby fleeing a war. Pressure is me as a 6-year-old being in the middle of a war. That's pressure. Pressure is not a must win football game because you can win or lose, but I don't think anyone's going to die. Of course, he was born in Croatia originally, and then at 18 months old fled to Kosovo, and then the Kosovo war broke out right on his doorstep. So came to Australia in the end. Lucas, were you going to say something? Yeah.
Just an amazing story, and obviously the squad sort of littered with stories like that, and then look at guys who have fled war-torn countries in Africa as well. So I think, what Mark said is bang on. These guys have the right mentality, and even if maybe our squad isn't as good or able to compete, the fact that we've got people saying that and have those sort of upbringings and something worth fighting for could make the difference.
And it's cool having some of these stories being brought onto the world stage, because before it was only really known within the confines of our borders. But you had, for example, I'm sure there's plenty more, but Alwyn Mabil had an interview in the Athletic with Nick Miller about being born in a Kenyan refugee camp, coming to Australia with his family, and all that kind of thing, which I thought was really good. But just back onto the on-field of this Tunisia game. Lucas, Well, Issam Djibali, he was the player that looked really good to me, at least in their first game against Denmark. He didn't score, but he looked very good for them in attack.
Yeah, I think when I've been speaking to people about this game, because obviously the thing about the World Cup is that the entire Australian football community gets around it, and people that maybe have fallen out of love with the game start watching again. And when they were saying, oh, we'll beat Tunisia, and I was going, well, they're still a good side. Tunisia will be looking at us as if this is the one that they're going to win. So it's, I think it's a fairly even game. And they do have a lot of players who play in Europe, and I think there's a few that play at Montpellier. And so I think, like I said, I think he's probably the man to watch. But, again, it's a completely different game to the France one because we went in there knowing all about these players. But even in that game, Arnie was saying they're just names, they're just numbers. We're not even focusing on who they are. Whereas now we're sort of in a situation where a lot of the Australian public think we're going to go and wipe the floor, but this is completely dead even in my book. And I'm really, I'm shitting myself, mate.
Marcus, if you were leading the team, you were the head coach, if you were in Graham Arnold's position for the Socceroos tonight, obviously after we scored the goal against France, the bus was firmly parked and we weren't doing much in attack. But how would you have us line up and shape up tactically tonight?
I would not do that comment. I think Graham Arnold, I'm a colleague of football, and I don't like to actually change the vibes of things. I understand that we're doing some communicating thing and whatever, but I would do exactly what Graham Arnold would do, because Graham Arnold knows that team more than me. So I don't want to be disrespectful and organize lineups when I don't know details. To organize teams, we need to know details. You know what I mean? I mean, I love that when we got people that goes and say, I will put 4-3-3. I'm going to put my view here. I'm going to put, yeah, but Jesus Christ, there's so many things. It gives me goosebumps, you know, when I actually see them, because I get it when we communicate and when I talk with friends in about soccer. But I would do exactly what Graham Arnold would do. I would actually hope that the Socceroos get a little bit of the vibes of the legacy of Johnny Warren. That used to say, never say never, mate. Mm-hmm. You know, never say never. Just go for it. Believe in yourself. Because tactically and technically, we're better than we have improved. We have improved. We're running a little bit more now. Obviously, the golden generation of Australia has done really well. And they were top players, or they were participating in Europe. All my respect to everyone. But football is today, and today these guys got a huge, huge opportunity. I'm gonna ask you, Harper. Mm-hmm. If you have to see Socceroos playing a huge match like that, you need to win. You pick Tunis. You pick, instead of Tunis, you pick Argentina, or you pick Italy, or you pick Holland. Which team you pick to burst into this big scenario that we need to win, must win? Which team do you pick?
Well, I'd be picking Tunisia personally, because they just don't have the quality of your Argentina and your Italy and your France.
Solomon
Islands.
You know what I mean?
So now that means that Tunisia
American
is a bad team. No, that doesn't mean that Tunisia is a bad team. But it actually gives you the hope that, yeah, we're nervous or we feel that. But it's a good chance, Luca. It's a good chance. And the vibes, the positive thing, and believing that will happen. If after they don't find a solution, they don't find the tactical part and whatever, we can sit and analyze. But right now, these Socceroos, they got a big opportunity, and I just wanted to wish the very best.
Oh, it's so nerve-wracking, but so exciting at the same time.
I'm pumped up now after that, Marcus.
Oh, man.
Marcus, your Adelaide Atletico team talks must be absolutely unbelievable.
And he was making me sweat a bit as well, reversing the roles, asking the host the question, but I'm going to flip those roles back over, turn the tables and move on to Argentina, Mexico. And this is what no doubt you can talk a lot about, because I think it'd be fair to say, compared to us, you're very much an expert in Argentinian football. But my question for you, first up is, what's the mood amongst Argentinian fans of the community at the moment? Is there any, I suppose, forgiveness for that early slip-up against Saudi Arabia, or are the knives already out?
Yes, Harper. You know why? Because I've been thinking for days why we lost against Arabia, yeah? I've been thinking, researching, watching on YouTube how Messi play and train in the last 15 days. I went all, did that homework, mate. And I actually find a conclusion why we lost that game. And the conclusion that I got, which is quite a little bit crazy, maybe people will think, oh, with this Flores is talking so much shit, mate. But I think we lost, and I'm responsible, and all the fans in the planet from Argentina, we're responsible of that loss. The reason why is because we are people that 98%, I will put the 2% just in case someone says, I didn't feel like that. But we put a TV and we think in 5 minutes and Messi's got to go. 5 minutes. Yeah? And we're thinking, that is it. In 7-8 minutes, 3 goals disallowed. One for one finger. Okay. It's going to happen. We're going to win 4-0, 5-0. So we were just lying on the sofa thinking, that is it. We're going to win this game. Which is next? And then things got complicated. And things got complicated because football is like that. Is that right? So because we were so relaxed, I got to the point that I said, when the Arabians scored the first goal, I said, don't worry, now it's going to be more fun to watch. Is that right? That, what I said, is what make us to lose the game. I believe that the entire nation of Argentina has been like that. 40 games, the national team leading to the World Cup, 40 games, was unbeatable. And you're playing against Ecuador, mate, and you're playing against Uruguay, and you're playing against Brazil, and you're playing against top nations. It's not. Don't believe what Mbappé said, that it's more easy to play in Europe than in South America. It's not true. So when you go into that and you play that team and you got that performance, we make the huge mistake of underestimating opposition. The coach of Saudi Arabia got us good. Got us good. Jesus Christ. They were so pumped. They were so tactical. They put 6 in the back, 2 midfielders, and they were actually tackling, blocking shots, and they were celebrating like the goal of Maradona in 86. So when you go into that enthusiasm, love, passion, everything is possible, sir. That copy-paste, let's send it to Socceroos. It killed us, and it really filled me. I feel guilty. So now, am I confident against Mexico? Jesus Christ, I'm excited. If we really have a team, it's going to wake up. If I don't believe that Messi will go and say, okay, that is it. I got a little bit. Okay, so sorry. I just slept 15 minutes. Now I'm on. I believe that we got these players. I do believe. So I can't be like a hooligan saying, these players are shit. No. Oh, we got the players. If we are a football nation that wanted to compete, well, that's it. Now you need to wake up against Mexico. Is that Mexico an easy team? No. It's not a Mexico team, easy team. But what can you do? You need to face now. And Messi has been go through situations at his club, at his national team, harder than this. harder than this. So I expect our national team to wake up. I know that they got things to, you know, to wake up, and they will do well. I'm nervous though.
Of course, it's a big night for you, mate. Got that 9 PM game, the 8:30 for you, then 5:30 for Argentina, Mexico. But I think Emi Martinez said Saturday will be our first World Cup final, and it really is do or die from here for Argentina. But if you put great emphasis, great weight on the historical record and the history between the two teams, it's very much in Argentina's favour. They're undefeated in the last 10 against Mexico, and in the 3 World Cup meetings they've had, undefeated in those as well. Argentina beat Mexico in the round of 16 in 2010. Had a look, Mexico in their last 7 World Cups have crashed out in the round of 16 each time, which is just remarkable. Let's hope Australia can get to that point in this particular World Cup. But Lucas, you haven't spoken for a while, but you were getting very fired up by Marcus's speeches. No doubt he'd do a good job for Argentina in the rooms there. He could fire them up. But how are you feeling about Argentina and Mexico? You giving Argentina a big chance to bounce back?
I'm actually, even though I'm not Argentinian, I'm not sure if it's radiated from Marcos, but I'm a bit nervous because I really want Argentina to go far. I think I've said before, I really want them to go far. Just Messi's last World Cup, the narrative of it, and especially, you know, it's only obviously a couple of years since Maradona's passing, so it's still fresh, the last first World Cup since that happened. So I think... Yeah, like you say, it's absolutely must win. Obviously, Mexico and Poland are two strong teams. I don't think this is as strong a Mexico side as maybe we've seen at the past few World Cups. But they're definitely one that can upset anyone, really. And that's why you mentioned that they always crash out, but they also that they always go out in the round of 16, but they always get out of their group is the main thing I take from that. I think for Argentina, it's all about getting those nerves out and trying to get an early goal, because I think if there's an early goal, maybe they'll calm down a bit. But I feel like if it's nil all for a long amount of time, as that time ticks over, the weight of the pressure of this situation is slowly going to sort of sink in. I do think they'll get it done.
And, of course, we've got 2 other games tonight, as we always do. First one, Melbourne, Sydney time, of course, again. Midnight, Poland, Saudi Arabia, and then our 2 group rivals at 3 AM, France versus Denmark, which is very, very important for us. I might almost start for that one as well. But, Lucas, quick word on these 2. How do you see these ones playing out?
Yeah, I think, like you say, the France-Denmark one is massive for us. Hopefully France can get a big win and maybe equal out a bit of that goal difference that we lost the other night. I think that one I could definitely see being a draw, even though France looked absolutely unbelievable against us. I do think Denmark are a strong side, and obviously they've beaten France a couple of times recently. And then Poland, Saudi Arabia are going to be absolutely pumped up after their win. Sorry, Marcos, over Argentina. I think Poland have got it all to play for, obviously heavily reliant on Lewandowski up front. That's a very even group, I think, Argentina's group now. I think it's opened right up. Any of those teams can go through. So, it's a shame. I'm not sure how much sleep I'm going to be getting tonight because they all look like great games.
Yeah, well, Saudi Arabia win that one. They're guaranteed through to the next round. But I think maybe, Marcos, have you got anything on those 2 games just very quickly?
No. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting what happened in these 2 games. And definitely, like you say, guys, it's going to shape and it's going to give us more an idea of who is going to go through. So after sometimes big games like the Arabic national team, you can make a mistake also to overpumped yourself. And Poland is not in... Yeah, it's just one big player there, but it's not going to be easy. So we'll see. Hope that, you know, that Equize goes draw, so we can actually do something, but not because I'm Argentinian, of course, you know.
Well, I hope I'm not overpumped. I'm just about to burst. I've got so much adrenaline going through me right now, just this mix of excitement and nervous energy and everything, and Marcus's speech only added to that. But I think maybe we should leave it there. I should, of course, recommend you guys checking out our back catalogue if you'd like to have a listen to those. But our Buy Me a Coffee page, which is at buymeacoffee.com/TGG football, rate us, review us, share us. We'd really, really appreciate us, even appreciate that. Even reach out to us and shoot us a message. Constructive criticism, nice feedback, whatever you want. We'd massively appreciate that. TGG Football on Twitter. But Marcos, first to you, really appreciate you coming on, mate. Awesome insights, awesome pump-up speeches. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Pleasure, Herbert. Thank you, Lucas, for chatting about football. I'm always keen to talk about the game. So I wished Socceroos the very best. I wish us Argentinians the very best also.
Good luck.
And let's enjoy this crazy World Cup, mate.
And then let's hope Argentina top the...
What were you going to say, Lucas?
Let's hope Argentina top the group, then Australia through in second, and then we'll play Argentina in the second round.
That would be awesome. Marcos
Flores derby. But Lucas, to you, thank you very much. And I know the Argentinians cook up a mean barbecue as well. But Lucas, thank you very much for jumping on the pod. It's been awesome having you. And enjoy the night tonight. It's going to be a cracker.
Oh, hopefully we will, all will. Nerves are definitely coming in. But, can't wait. Kind of can't wait to get it over and done with, because the morning of the day before is always the worst.
I've got about 10 hours to keep my nervous energy in check and not do anything stupid. But, guys, thank you very much again. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back with you tomorrow with a whole new fresh panel and fresh insights and analysis about this Australia game. See you then.